Hello everybody, Rajat here, co-founder of the Small Business Project. This episode is going to be the first Q&A episode of the E-commerce for Starters podcast series. Now, since multiple questions came in via my Instagram and my WhatsApp, I thought I'd answer them here, so it could be of help to those of you with similar questions. And if you're wondering how you can reach out to me to have any of your e-commerce related questions answered, you may drop me a message on my Instagram. My user handle is Rachit Hegde, RachitHegde, or you could email me on rachit@thesmallbusinessproject.com. Alright, let's begin with the questions. The first question is from Joshua. Joshua writes in saying, "Hey Rachit, I am from Cochin and I want to get into e-commerce. I want to know how much an e-commerce website costs to get it built." Joshua also has another question. He asks, "Can I build a website myself? Is it a steep learning curve?" Hey Joshua, thanks for writing in. So to answer your question, a basic website can cost anything between 10,000 rupees to 20,000 rupees. Now, that's depending if, you know, you're getting a freelancer or an agency or a company to build it, because an agency or a company might have overheads and might charge at least about twice the cost of a freelancer. So if you are getting an e-commerce website built, a base e-commerce website can cost anything between 40,000, 50,000 rupees upwards. And I can only compare it to, say a car showroom, right? So if you want a car with a base model, the base model might probably not offer you keyless entry, not offer you a power steering, not offer you, you know, electric windows, right? But if you want a better model with those features, it's going to come at an additional price. So similarly with an e-commerce website, the more features you want on the e-commerce website, the more features, the more it's going to cost you. For example, you can have a standard e-commerce site without any SMS notifications, without any automations, without any email triggers, with probably just a limited number of products. So I can get, I'm going to get deeper into this in the next episode, but to answer your question in short, it can cost anything between 40,000 rupees, 50,000 rupees to about say 1.5 lakh, 2 lakhs, depending again on the complexity of the website. If you do have very complex requirements, they can easily, very easily cross the 2 to 3 lakh limit as well. Just to add something else to that, do not think of, even if you're looking at building an e-commerce website, do not think of building a complete e-commerce solution, because even if you do, you will end up having some add-ons and plugins which would add to your cost and, you know, to your entire e-commerce system. So I suggest start with the bare minimum and keep adding on based on what you need, and you will find plugins and tools that might work more specific to the kind of products you're selling and the kind of audiences you're dealing with. So have a base system and keep working on it as you scale. So Joshua, your second question of can I build a website myself? Is it a steep learning curve? Now, to answer that question, if you are building just one website yourself, if it's an e-commerce, and if you have the time, and if you're really on a shoestring budget, and if you want to save up on the developer cost, the freelancer, or the agency cost, and build it yourself, yes, you can build it yourself. You can build a website using Wix. You can build a website using Shopify. And these are tools you really don't need too much of. You know, you don't need coding expertise, and is something that you can build yourself. In fact, even WooCommerce with WordPress is something that you can build yourself without, you know, coding knowledge. But compared to Wix and Shopify, WooCommerce with WordPress might seem slightly steeper curve as opposed to Wix and Shopify. Shopify is a good system if you want to go ahead with. I'm going to get a little deeper again into this in the next episode. So if you are building multiple websites, I suggest you start learning. It's interesting and it's a good skill to have. But if you really want something to like start off with, and if you're tight on budget, go ahead, build it on Shopify or Wix. Again, between the two, I would pick Shopify. So you don't need any experience of code, and you can just plug and play. All right, that was from Joshua. We're moving on to Sunita. Sunita's writing in from Bombay. And reading a question, she says, like you rightly said, Amazon lists you along with your competitors. But what if you represent a new category and there are no competitors in that category? And she continues to say, while being listed on Amazon is not such a good thing as it's trying to find a needle in the haystack, if I'm listed there and inform my customers, chances are there that they will pick up my products and while they are shopping for other stuff also, right? All right. Hi, Sunita. Thank you for reaching out. So I'm answering your questions by asking ourselves another question, which is why would a user choose Amazon to shop on, right? So the first one could be convenience, the convenience of having something delivered quickly to you, maybe through Amazon Prime or even otherwise. The second could be trust, because Amazon is a company what they are. So trust is definitely an important factor. And it's important to understand that when a marketplace or a platform like this has these two factors going for them, discovery and visibility becomes a challenge, right? Now, discovery within an Amazon ecosystem when a user is searching for similar products is good to use ads within that platform, right? Because of the vast, you know, it's literally Amazon is bigger than the variety offered on, in a supermarket, technically, right? So you would want to use ads within the Amazon ecosystem because people are already, in the shopping spree or in at least a mood of wanting to check out other products. So that's one thing you could look at, you know, discovery with ads within the Amazon platform. Because ideally, if you have to use Amazon, one would want to use Amazon for, you know, discoveries or to, you know, avoid the hassle of, you know, the entire logistics that Amazon takes care for you, right? Because if you are dealing, if you are having to ask your customers to go to Amazon to buy from you, you could cut out that one step to avoid the commissions that you are paying Amazon and take care of your existing, you know, customers that you can reach out to directly and deal with them yourself, right? Like I said, you could deal with them yourself using a platform like an Instamojo, like I mentioned, on my last episode. But that's one way to go about it. Now, if your product is being represented in a new category where there are no competitors at all in that category, it could work as an advantage and a disadvantage for you, right? So as an advantage, it could mean because you have a head start in that particular category and you can dominate it before any of your competitors or players that emerge want to come in and start using that space. So in terms of your reviews, sales numbers, that's an area you can dominate. The disadvantage is again the lack of discovery and the lack of visibility, because you are the only one in that category or subcategory and you're not allowing any other customers or users stumble upon you or your product because of the lack of competition in that space. Now, what do you do in this situation, right? Now, the best way to fight this, this disadvantage is to, show up in other places your typical customer would normally fall into, right? Now, for example, if I'm selling phone cases, I would like to show up to people who are buying phones. If I'm selling lampshades, I'd like to show up to people who are buying bulbs. If I'm selling cheese, I'd like to show up to people who are buying butter and bread. Now, what if I'm selling, edibles for a kid's birthday party, right? Then I could advertise my product as a birthday party pack and run ads to people who are interested in birthday party decorations and stuff like that, right? Because then you would eventually fall under the category in a broader sense of the category. Alright, Sunita, so I hope my answers answered the first two questions of yours. I'm moving to the second two questions of yours, which are, you've written in saying, what if Amazon approached me and asked me to list my products with them? Your thoughts? And your second question after that is, going by what you're saying, it's better to be listed with more niche brands where my products will stand out. And another thing, in addition to what I've just said, depending on your relation with the Amazon agent, especially if you've been approached in this case, is you could ask for them to offer you Amazon advertising credits, which would mean you could advertise on Amazon using credits, which would otherwise end up going from your pocket. So if you could manage this at your end, nothing like it. You've saved yourself some money. All right, so let's look at this from Amazon's perspective. So the more number of products and sellers Amazon has on their platform, the better it is for them, because they're going to be making a commission out of every sale. And they're not going to be, I mean, it doesn't cost them anything to be, you know, bringing you on board Amazon, whereas they end up making a commission out of it. So because of this, a lot of Amazon agents encourage businesses to, you know, list themselves on Amazon. And do remember that, you know, a lot of Amazon agents are incentivized directly by Amazon to, you know, bring on sellers onto the platform and are also compensated for it. So these are certain things that you need to be aware of. So what do you do before deciding which marketplace you need to go to, right? It's always important to do your homework of different marketplaces that exist. So what I've done for you specifically is we've generated like a report on SEMrush to just give you a basic idea of how you can look at the different marketplaces that you might want to list your products on. And, you know, you can just look at the data and understand, you know, the amount of traffic that's coming in. And you will also understand the kind of questions you need to ask your marketplace agents, you know, things like, you know, how soon or how much does a particular category sell, to what is the demand. And you know, once you have a bunch of marketplaces, do test different marketplaces, but at the end, like I said earlier, stick to like your top three performing marketplaces that you know, bring you most of the revenue. Like I said, discovery is definitely one thing, but if you're not in a category or in a system that allows you to be discovered, then it doesn't make sense to be on that platform. Also, another thing you need to keep in mind is, especially in this case, I am aware of what your product is. Your product has a shelf life, and that's something to worry about, especially if you have multiple marketplaces, because you might end up moving stock at a discounted price closer to expiry date if it's not selling on those marketplaces, right? So this is definitely something to keep in mind. And over time, as you're working with different marketplaces, you will understand a certain trend, and it's good to adapt to that trend and, you know, attach yourself to marketplaces and advertise within those particular marketplaces, because there is already a certain pattern and demand within that. Hello friends, thank you for listening. This is the end of the first Q&A session of the E-commerce for Starters podcast series. If you have any other e-commerce related questions, feel free to contact me on Instagram or write it to me at rachit@thesmallbusinessproject.com, and I'd be happy to answer your questions. Until the next episode, see you.